Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new music podcast by Podcart.
One more tune. Welcome to the new Podcart One More Tune podcast. My name is Helena Rafai.
I'm Ewan Davidson.
And we'd also like to introduce our brand new co-presenter, who is...
Mel Reeve. Hello. Thank you for having me. It's very nice to be here, virtually. So I'm a writer and an archivist. I've been writing about music for a very long time. I used to do radio when I was a teenager. And then from there, I kind of just got into music writing. I've written quite regularly for Gold Flake Paint, among other places. Just very excited to be here and chit-chat about music with you nice people.
And we are going to kick off with Super In We and Mothering Tongue.
Thank you.
I thought they were called Super Inuit.
Do you know what? They probably are called Super Inuit, and I actually feel quite stupid now. But I was going down the French route. So it's an Edinburgh duo, and obviously it's electropop. I'm going to make a confession now, and I quite like doing this on these podcasts, is that I was not a fan of everything up until now. And it's this song has just completely converted me. And it's a duo from Edinburgh, Brian Pokora and Fern Morris. And the song itself is it's called Mothering Tongue. And they themselves have described it about the truths and untruths that we tell ourselves, and it's synthetic melodies wrapped around glassy clear vocals, that they say. And so it's to coincide with a short tour that they're doing, but I'm not actually sure whether that tour transpired, because obviously the world's gone to shit, and but we can find out about that. But, you know, obviously, I guess one of the things that I'm starting to sound a bit David Brent now, because I'm backtracking on so many things. And I think what we kind of have to explain is that hopefully if people are listening to this far in the future, this is the time that coronavirus hit and it's a pandemic and we are remotely recording. And the way that things are, we don't know what's happening. So I'm going to stop talking now and find out what you both thought about the song.
I'm going to have to be a total anorak for a sec. There was something about the mixing of that just didn't really sit right with me. I thought the vocals were like needlessly dry. The mix was slightly off for me, which stopped me enjoying it as much as I would have liked to. I think in terms of songwriting, it's fantastic. And in terms of the production, it's fantastic. But it just sits a little strange in the ear for me. But definitely, I like that kind of dreamy sort of the sort of dream pop with kind of trap and dead drum beats, like Purity Ring are a huge band for me. I definitely picked up some influence there. But if you could just change that one thing, maybe double the vocals in the verses, that would just top off for me. But
oh, you sound like a wanker.
I am a total dick.
You are a total dick. And I have to say that we agree that you're a total dick. I have to say, I totally disagree with you. I think that the depth in the production, I think that the kind of idiosyncrasies, I think the syncopation, I think everything that they've done on that song for me is just, I don't know, it just hits me hard and I'm really impressed with it.
No, I like it. It's just the mix is a little off for me. That's all.
I really like it. They're one of those bands that I've heard the name of and I think I must have seen maybe posters about for a while and just haven't bothered checking out. But yeah, I thought that was really fantastic and very enjoyable.
So there's a lot of pressure riding on the next tune.
And what is the song, Ewan?
The song is called Gospel for a New Century by Eve Tumor. And I am going to go on record and say this is, I want to put this forward as the best song of this week. I think it absolutely bangs.
Can't be there, and this ain't by design. I adore you.
Right, yeah, so that was Eve Tumor, who is following up from the Safe in the Hands of Love album that was one of Pitchfork's picks for 2018. He was formerly in a sort of kind of post-chillwave act called Teams, and he's from Knoxville, Tennessee. He says he got into writing music just to get away from the conservative mindsets of the people he lived nearby, which is pretty cool. And he toured with Mickey Blanco in 2012. So that's a sort of kind of pool of artists that he was working with. Very much inspired by Sobbing Gristle and the sort of trance textures, which is maybe more prevalent in the last record, but like for this one, I mean, this is just a straight adrenaline shot of pop. I fucking love this song. It's all these kind of weirdo sort of kind of offbeat sort of influences melded into this thing where, like, if I don't know, there's elements of like Jai Paul, the London artist, there's elements, I mean, there's even like, there's so many things you could name, but I think it's such an individualistic style that he's got, and I'm just massively excited about his next record. So that's my take. Gospel for a New Century by Eve Tumor. So what did you guys make of that then?
I'll let you go first, Mel.
Yeah, I love the like brass sound on the chorus. I think it's, like you were saying, like very pop, very fun, and like bringing those references that you mentioned, but also with the kind of like relaxed vocal style. Yeah, I think it's very listenable. I had actually already heard it, which I guess is maybe cheating slightly, but yeah, getting to hear it again was no bad thing at all.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yes!
Love it.
Yes, I knew it.
Just like a juggernaut. Big, big, massive kind of chorus hits you hard, and yep, that's going to be going on heavy rotation this week, and I'm really happy because it's the week from hell, and I need a distraction, and I'm really, really impressed, and I fucking hate that because it's Ewan that's picked that song. So
I've got multitudes. I can't hide that.
But this is what I love about this podcast is that you kind of, and this is what I love that we don't get to listen to each other's songs until we actually listen, like we actually do the podcast, is because it's like getting that immediate reaction, which I think is fantastic. And I think if a song can kind of hit you like that within the first play, then it's like testament to the artist.
Cool.
So yeah. Right. Mel.
Yes. So next we have Namdi with Gimme Gimme.
Thank you.
So that track's from his forthcoming album Brat, which is out on April 3rd. He wrote, performed and engineered the whole thing, which is obviously wildly impressive. I think also based on the other single I've heard from the album means that it's got a very versatile sound. He's doing quite a lot of very interesting things. And I mean, what I love from that track, that kind of almost slightly squeaky, annoying, like gimme sample that makes me think of PC music maybe. And that might be because I've been listening to a lot of PC music, but I think definitely kind of references that. And I also thought it was quite interesting he's going to be supporting Sleat Akinny, hopefully, I guess, depending on the state of the world, in August. But yeah, just a really like slick, smart, and very clean and fun track, I think. I don't know what you guys think.
I think it's fascinating that he's going to be supporting Sleat Akinny. I mean, I find that such like an incredible meld of, you know, people. And I think, do you know, there's a lot of people that slate artists that put people on the same bill that maybe are not kind of stylistically within the same field. But see, to be honest, I would rather see someone that's kind of, that's going to challenge me as opposed to be something that's, it's just a derivative. That was really good. The production was so fantastic, and it, production like that, I used to hate it, but now I've become more and more obsessed with it. And yeah, this is a great podcast.
It is. If I had any notes, I would like to snare up a wee bit.
Are you just like leaning into like annoying producer man vibe right now? Is that the thing?
Ewan's so not a producer for everyone that's listening.
No, I feel like maybe don't criticize something if you can't do it yourself. That's just my personal
thing. That's the whole point of music journalism. That's the whole point. No, I really like that. There were a lot of really good synth textures that sort of put me in a mind of like sort of 99 to 01 Timbaland, especially the Missy Elliott era stuff, just the like the really long sort of amazing synths, especially in the bass portions as well. Yeah, I thought that was really cool. And the sample, the PC music E sort of sample, it was just on the right cusp of being annoying. I thought like if it was any more sort of like then it would have been like, that we would have grated to such a point where it'd been like, I hate the rest of the song now by default. But no, I really, really enjoyed that. And that in itself is a disappointment because I'm wanting to find something that I hate just for sense of balance. But you're right, it's a good podcast and we can't escape that now.
Well, let's see how what it's going to sound like. Moving on, we're kind of sticking in the hip hop vein. And this is Sweets, and he's from Newcastle, and this is Smoking Area.
Yo, my hairline's 10 out of 10, but the contrary, it look like a 3. Chip on my shoulder, no need to grow if I've got a dream. Souls in my phone, a grey of the holy water, spraying the gospel of the sweets. Either asleep or moving your feet, this one's for the dance floor under your skis. I saw you stagger out the bathroom, more than daggers in your back. You've been jacking from your body's bags, like, trust me, that's a gram.
What are you fucking saying? Trust me, bro, it's a gram. I wear it out myself, you dickhead.
One night, my charismatic gang. Grace with garments, you can Google later. Wester than the pet shop, Lake Geneva to the Finland station. Walking a rave with a cashmere scarf. Leave any rhyme set covered in clarts. MCs treat my set like a TED talk. Jotting down notes like they know what a pen's for. Bright white glow with a crime lord. Soul from the man bag where I keep my essentials. Space age tunes leaking out my headphones. Ash my zoots in a golden prayer bowl. And I'm hardly alive. 6 feet deep with my arms in the sky. I'd call it a day, but the waves don't die. So I step to the night with a glimmer in my eye. To keep rising past my Nikes, this ain't life. He needs whether I return in a bad rave into a mass grave. It's my nature, please don't mind me.
Whoa, so dicey, so dicey, whoa, so Pisces. Smoking on the waist, my
search my cataract. Smoking area on my zoo, I already forget you see though. Fuck with an MC's ego, half their bars wouldn't touch my teeth. Go bar for bar with HMP, man are so keen on gassing up me. Hard the ego, half a fist bump for the heart in your defeat. In a warm embrace for all my G's, I make stone cold corpses move. And I use my mic as a PDT, and I spot my zoo with a 4-bar loop. Trust I'm ready to make my move, 247, 365. Trust me, you're not the one like 2, you're not the one like 345.
Inside shedding is all we do. Whether I be on my crew, merchandise, mash up the ones and twos, mash up the whole venue with a team this size, smash up the scene like Bruce. So even bums like you can realize, we're not down for down to earth, we're only up for getting high. Holy fuck, I'm tripping wise, I'm overwhelmed, I rub my eyes. My DM's been blowing up, I'm blowing kisses to the skies. Infest the scene with pesticides, I push the bags and pesticide. Princess died, the next in line is good as fucking dead alive.
That was Sweets and Smoking Area. It's the first release by the 20-year-old from Newcastle, but resident of Manchester. He's played festivals like Dot to Dot, Hit the North, and has supported Everyone You Know. I just can't believe that that's his debut. And for me, so there's another kind of rapper called H. Now, H is someone that's been getting a lot of buzz, and I didn't really get H. It kind of was, it wasn't sitting with me. And I'm going to tell you both about something that I'm going to ask you after this about YouTube channels. So start thinking now about a YouTube channel that you've been watching that people would never expect you to watch. So while you're thinking of that, I'm going to tell you the one that I've been watching. So it's called American Reacts, and it's this African-American rapper from, obviously from America, and he's reacting to all UK rappers. And it's, honestly, I've been watching about, I'm addicted to this guy. And so he was reacting to H, and there was a video called, it's either M-I-C-E or just Mice. And I had heard the buzz, I'd seen stuff that H had done, and there was a few things that kind of didn't, I felt a bit uncomfortable about. There's a podcast, and there's a well-known movement called the Guilty Feminist, and it's one of the things that she talks about is listening to gangster rap and how guilty she feels about listening to it, because obviously it's so degrading to women. And I feel like that as well, because I fucking love gangster rap, and H kind of falls into some of that category with some of the lyrics and so on. But the just to get on to an actual point here, Sweets kind of reminds me of H, but I think he's better. And that's that.
Oh, big time. No, I mean, I've never really got the buzzer on H, but like this track is so good. Like, I've heard so many variations of like chopping up the rhythm and gash beat, but like this, if I'm writing that as a sample, that is absolute genius. I mean, really good, really sort of standard kind of grime 140 kind of beat to that, but just effortless delivery, especially for a 20-year-old, because like, especially younger rappers like and MCs tend to force it, in my experience. Like, it reminds me of sort of the younger kind of mixtape era, Dot Rotten maybe, or like it's just big up Newcastle, man. Like, I haven't heard any MCs from the northeast of England, and this is really, really cool. But yeah, definitely would have played that back in my my days as a DJ. I would have. I used to play like Wiley album tracks to like really ungrateful kids. Like,
do you know? I wish everyone could see what you look like, because you actually look about 15. So it's hilarious that when you say to us about how you used to do this, and I'm like, you probably weren't old enough. So, Mel.
Yeah, pretty much what you were saying about that sample, I love it. That sound like just sounds so good, and like something that you just want to keep hearing, you know, like I want to go back and listen to it again. And I think, yeah, that really kind of distinctive like UK sound, obviously with having like a northeastern accent. But yeah, I want to put that on my running playlist. Honestly, I feel like that would be getting me up some big hills.
That is an accolade. That is that's awesome. Okay, so next.
Oh, it's me. Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, okay. I mean, I look at the agenda for each and every podcast and know what's happening. But equally, I stall for time. You know, I make things up when I'm trying to stall. And doing that reminds me of the song Black Cat by Spinning Coin, which is the next song on this playlist. So that was Glasgow and Berlin Spinning Coin, comprised of Jack Mellon, who was, is still in Smack Wizards, Sean Armstrong, who you might know from his myriad solo projects, and The Yawns, Chris White and Rachel Taylor. Now this album, Hyacinth, that Black Cat features on, was made hurriedly because two of the band live in Berlin and the other two live in Glasgow. So it's also the singing debut, I believe, of Rachel Taylor on for Spinning Coin. You can sort of put that into the same kind of jingly jangly kind of world of Always, The Pastels, Pavement. They've supported all the bands you'd expect them to support, and this is their second LP on Domino Records. I was a really big fan of their first album, Permo, and I like what I've heard so far from Hyacinth, which I believe you can access now on your streaming platforms and things. Any other Spinning Coin fans in the chat?
Yes, I like Spinning Coin. I think I've seen them live. That could be a lie. But yeah, I think they're just really good. And it's great, insightful discussion there, I know. I think they have, you know, those really sweet vocals, that like quite gentle guitar. I really enjoy that kind of vibe. And they just do it really well.
So I'm a bit funny. So I hate Teenage Fan Club. I hate Bill and Sebastian.
Oh, I hate Bill and Sebastian. That's fine.
Yeah. Who else do I do not like?
I'm just seeing who else I've got posters of.
Give me some names here, Ewan. Come on.
The Pastels, the Vaselines.
Vaselines can't stand the music.
No.
And well, the weird thing is, obviously, that most of these people have influenced Kurt Cobain, who's my idol. So it's quite odd, but I do love a band called Low. So Low, yes, are one of the greatest and most underrated bands to ever emerge in the world. And
agreed.
The thing with Spinning Coin is that I've always heard a different vocal on the tracks. And that vocal for me is the one that's maybe made this just a bit of a game changer. And I just think that that's the best thing that they've done.
It's diplomatic.
So see, I recovered it. I bought it from the depths of despair and took it to somewhere that was pure elation.
I mean, I've actually been quite reserved on my fae indie boy choices so far in my time with Podcart. So, like, I felt like you knew it was in the post.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the surprise was your love of hip hop, and that was the shocker. I don't want to bore the listeners. Let's talking about your life, Ewan.
I'm a very interesting man.
Let's Mel, what's your next pick?
So the next track is Dream Nails, and it's down in the agenda as Kiss My Feet. I'd like it to make it very clear that it's actually called Kiss My Fist. I don't know if that tells us something about Helena.
I hope not.
You like us on the video. You like us when you have control. You want an on-screen fantasy.
So that's Kiss My Fist by Dream Nails. They wrote it about the homophobic, biphobic attack on a young queer couple on a bus in London, which happened recently, as you might remember, which I actually picked up without knowing that, so which I think is good, because I think if you're going to write like a kind of protesty or politically motivated song, then like commit to it, because I think sometimes when people do that, it can be cringy or feel kind of forced. But I think there's a really nice balance in that track of like, they're talking about something important, they're doing that really well, but it's also just a really fun song, and when the chorus kicks in, like, you want to sing along and jump up and down, and all of that. And it also actually reminds me of, I don't know if you guys know, Personal Best, there's a track called This Is What We Look Like, which is kind of on a similar theme, and I'm thinking I might make a playlist of just, like, queer kind of DIY Riot Girl indie guitar tracks that make me feel happy, because yeah, it's just really great, and I think there's something quite cathartic in that as well.
Do you know what I really love about that is that I was not expecting you to say that that's what the song was attributed to, but I love the fact that it's, do you know, sometimes in you get artists or musicians and they're kind of, they talk about and dedicate things dedicate to things that are so profound, whereas that is something that's so real. It's happened within a borough of London. It was absolutely horrific, and the fact that it's just kind of, you know, it's not out of reach for any of us, if that makes sense. It's something that it could happen to any of us. And I think that that is one of the most beautiful things about it, even though something really horrific happened. But that song is just, Riot Girl movement kind of passed me by because I think it was to do with age, but also because I was heavily into grunge and Nirvana kind of just overtook my life. But don't get me wrong, Hole, L7 were kind of really I was entrenched in, but I missed Sleater Kinney and a lot of bands, and I feel like a bit of a leper at times with that. But at the same time, it's, I think sometimes, you know how people kind of put pressure on discovering things at certain times, whereas I think there's something really beautiful about discovering it in your own time.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. And I think you appreciate it more. So that's my psalm for the day.
I just had a couple of production notes in that one.
Fuck off.
It fucking ruled. That chorus was just like so beautifully, like it was just so beautifully articulated. It just comes out of nowhere, and it's lyrically fitting that it's called Kiss My Face, because it does, that chorus does come in like a punch in the face. I thought that was absolutely fucking amazing. I really, really enjoyed that one. I'm speechless. I'm speechless, which is useful for an audio-based format.
Great. Okay, so we've only got we've got three songs left, and it's my last pick, and it's Foreign Fields, and a fitting name, Terrible Times.
I will wait and watch you cry in terrible times. Maybe it's the price. Maybe it's the
better face, with a better mouth, a better place, a better house.
Okay, sorry, I got a bit teary there. Okay, so Fern Fields, they have received critical acclaim from the likes of Annie Mac, Phil Taggart. They've been playlisted from across the world. And this is my first introduction to them. And I am so glad that this is my debut, that was their debut to me. It was the third single taken from their album, which was released literally about 4 days ago, which is insane because I think we kind of have to mention what's kind of going on at the moment. We are in the midst of probably the worst thing that's ever happened in my lifetime, which, and I'm considerably older than UNML, which is... I didn't really want to talk about, which is quite awkward, but we're going to have to. But yeah, it's been a really tough time, and we aren't even in the worst place. There's people that are far worse off than us, and I guess that this is my serious bit, that music and creativity and the arts are something that create respite for people and help their mental health. And I think that us listening to music and discussing it and spreading the joy of music is something vital. So this song for me kind of was really important. And I just kind of want to read a quote that a gentleman named Eric explains. I began the first sketch for Terrible Times the day my daughter was diagnosed with ASD, which is autism spectrum disorder. And it began as a small message of love for her and everything that makes her special in my eyes. As the song grew, it became more universal, a message of hope in the generations to come, those youngest among us who may yet make the world a better place. And I think that kind of message is applicable to so many different situations, and the builds within that song, it's so fucking endearing, and I absolutely adore it. Over to you. Ewan, you can't slag this off now, because after that, you would look like a total prick.
Well, I mean... I really appreciate what you said there, Helena.
Have you got some production?
Just a quick production note. Your STs could have been a bit louder. I don't know. I really don't know what you say to songs like that, because, like, I mean, it could be really boring to sort of musicality sort of things that I didn't think were perfect. But, like, when a song's that sentimental, like... either that I find that completely draining, or it's really an emotional investment and you come away feeling quite cleansed by it. And that was the case. Terrible Times, but not a terrible song. Thanks.
Mel?
Sorry, I was just letting that one sink in for a moment. I love a big, sad tune. That's one of the things about me. Once Ewan asked me if he thought that maybe I was sad all the time because I only listen to sad music. And he could have had a point.
It was a valid point. It was a valid point.
It was honestly not the worst point. I think there's something very special about how music can make you feel. And I think sadness is obviously a very powerful emotion. But I think the reason that I like sad music and the reason that that song's so powerful is because it's not actually a sad song, is that it's a song about hope and how that can feel sad sometimes. So yeah, I'm definitely going to have a big cry to that later. So thank you, Helena. It's really good.
Oh, that's so nice. Okay, so Ewan.
Well, I, as Mr. Sentimental, would like to offer you the following song. It's called Up to Speed, and it's by Harkin. And check it out. So that's the fantastic, inimitable Harkin, long form name, Katie Harkin even. She has been more recently a touring member of Sleater Kinney, Wild Beasts, Kurt Vile. She's played alongside Courtney Barnett, but she also, if you didn't know, you missed out on so much, she was the she fronted a band called Sky Larkin from Leeds, who made three of the best indie records I think exist. I devoted so much time to Skylarkin. I remember me and a few of my pals went to this tiny festival and it rained the whole weekend. We went there pretty much to see Skylarkin. She's influenced my guitar playing and got me into so much music that I enjoy now. So for me, Katie Harkin, massive hero of mine, and Up to Speed is such a return to form. I'm so glad she's putting more stuff out. She always has these really interesting chord changes and chord patterns that set her apart from a lot of sort of indie rock contemporaries. I'm just thrilled by this song. I think it's as you would expect, it's fantastic, I would say. I'll open the floor to suggestions and amendments to the proposition.
I was a massive Skylarkin fan as well. I was 15 when their first album came out, and it was like one of those records that really got me into music that I still love. So I think maybe a good thing, maybe a bad thing. Whenever I hear her vocals, I'm just like immediately taken back to loving Skylarkin and having all those associations with it, which I don't know if that's really a big problem for her. She does a lot of very cool stuff. I doubt she's, you know, bothered that people probably think about Skylarkin a lot when they hear her music, well, I do anyway. But yeah, a great track, not just because of that nostalgia, but that definitely adds something for me as well.
I love that. I think it shows a kind of real maturity for her in terms of progression. It kind of reminds me a daughter who did a similar thing in terms of their musicianship, and their first album was something that you could see the glimmers of something really special there, and then by second album and onwards it just became something that was so full of passion and body and just so influential. And I still feel the daughter have got a long, long way to go. But I think that Katie is kind of really, it's much of the same vein. And really, there's something that there's a command there. There's an ambition. There's a confidence that you can really hear within the production and the musicianship. And I've got a kind of great deal of respect in that respect.
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 Yo. So we are coming on to the last song, which is It's Gone So Quickly. And Mel, what have you got for us?
So this is Jayla, and the song is called For Now.
Treat me like the one you want, though I know you're coming up, for air is all in doubt. Let them see you when you're dying prettier than we do. I've been digging down your throat to find the words before you choke, before you choke, choke. I don't wanna fight it when I don't know how.
That was Jayla with For Now, and that comes from her forthcoming EP, Ache of Victory, which is due to come out on the 24th of April, and it's on her own label, but I feel like I should note, and I was kind of debating not mentioning this, because it seems a bit harsh, that this, if you look up anything about her, comes up, but she is actually Tessa Thompson's half-sister, and her dad is also a very famous music producer, and I love that song. I think it's beautiful. I find it kind of very enveloping. I get quite lost in it. I really love the kind of like 90s, maybe early noughties vibe. I just think it's great. But it did make me start thinking about, like, people who get to play fashion shows and get profiled by Vogue and then self-release stuff. I just think it's super interesting, and I totally don't mean that as a criticism. But yeah, just made me start thinking about that. But yeah, I love that track, and I guess the flip side of that is that whenever anyone mentions her, they're going to then say, that's Tessa Thompson's sister, which I'm sure is no fun.
I mean, if it helps at all, my granddad, Sir Alfred Podcast.
Inventor of the podcast.
He probably gave me benefits that other people wouldn't get, and so here I am. In terms of the song, no, it put me in a really amazing sort of dream indie kind of world there. We listened to a lot of Moses Sumney, and he's shouted out a lot of really, really good black indie artists. And so I've been kind of in this kind of dream indie world, and it's influenced by a lot of kind of 70s and 80s soul as well. So there are little hints of, like, Sade to me in there. I don't know if it's completely off base, but I definitely thought the vocal delivery was kind of had hints of Sade. And no, I thought that was really cool. I would definitely try and check out more of her stuff. And also, for the record, I am so disconnected from a lot of pop culture that I had to look up who Tessa Thompson was.
So she is the lady in Janelle Monáe's Pink video. She's an actress. That's not why she's famous, but that may be a reference you'll get. No? Okay, never mind.
Yeah, no. I know now.
I think that is absolutely unbelievable. I think it's just such a... you know, when people talk about art and music, I think that is just a piece of art. And I think it's something to get fully consumed within. I found it really kind of cathartic almost. And really, I think that's going to be one of the songs that probably stays with me for a lot of the time following this podcast. Because I think it's one of those songs that you can kind of, you'll listen to, but there's so much within it that you want to kind of delve into deeper. So you have to kind of just do those repeat listens, and there's just layer upon layer to it. I mean, the vocal alone is just ridiculous. So I think it's really unbelievable.
I was just gonna say, I meant to say that I actually found that on a playlist by Caroline Polachek, whom I'm obsessed with, who has coronavirus and made a really, really massive playlist while she was getting through it, and there's some really amazing stuff on there. So if you're looking for something that's like 9 hours long to keep you occupied during this time, that may be
that's all from us. We want you to stay safe, and we don't want you to be fannies, and we want you to look after each other. And this is an exceptionally difficult time for everyone. There's a lot of uncertainty, and it's really challenging things like our mental health. And this is new territory for the three of us as well. But it is something that I think we're all slightly excited about in terms of discovering new ways to communicate, I am assuming, with you two.
I'm just terrified, yeah. Actually, but no, I'm joking. Yeah, we've been using House Party, which is interesting.
House Party,
I like it.
Yeah, I like House Party as well. And maybe we should kind of do a segment on House Party the next podcast that we're on. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Mel. Thank you to Ewan.
No bother.
Thank you for having me.
And we will be back regularly. At this point, because we don't have to meet up physically, which is an incredible thing. Thank you.
Remember to subscribe to us on Apple Music or Acast, but you can find us on your preferred podcast app. One
more. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.